Welcome to this week's episode of the Third Read Podcast. I'm Caitlin Shalhorn, editor of the Missouri Times, and I'm joined today by our guest host, Hannah.
Hello, Caitlin. Thank you for having me. This is my first podcast appearance, I think, and I'm ready to talk about Missouri politics again. I've been blissfully unaware of things for the last few weeks since session ended, kind of getting my bearings back, and so I'm ready to be here and hang out with you.
You went on a pretty fun vacation, right?
Yeah, so my husband and I celebrated our first anniversary. Of course, we got married during COVID, so that was wild. So we went to Hilton Head, South Carolina, had a really fun time. It was really good to get away and be in the sun and eat good food and all of that. But he had to be back here by noon on Tuesday, so we left our hotel in Hilton Head at 1:30 a.m. Central Time Tuesday morning, so we were very tired and we're still catching up on sleep.
Wow.
Yes.
Well, tell everyone a little bit about what you do. I feel like everyone who listens to this podcast knows you and knows all of the hard work you do. But just in case, like, if my dad is listening,
of course.
Tell us a little bit more about yourself and what you do here.
Yeah, so my day job. My name is Hannah Beer Sutton. I work for Clout Public Affairs and Axiom Strategies. I do both public affairs and lobbying work, as well as campaign consulting, and kind of a jack of all trades situation in which I do kind of anything that is needed. So yesterday I was doing photos. Sometimes I'm staffing parades. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? So actually, no, tomorrow I will be serving pretzels at Schmidtfest at the Missouri Republican Party Lincoln Days. So if you're there, come on out, have some pretzels and cheese.
Well, that perfectly segues into our first topic, which is the U.S. Senate race.
Yes,
ma'am. So Congresswoman Vicki Hartzler officially announced her candidacy this mm-hmm. week. So she's jumped into the race. I know you are working with Schmidt.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit more about the Attorney General and why you think he would be the best candidate for Senate.
You know, I think that Eric Schmidt, well, obviously is the best candidate, but, and I really, really appreciate Congresswoman Hartzler and everything she's done. This field just keeps getting bigger and bigger. You know, who knows who's going to jump in next. Eric Schmidt, to me, is the ideal senator. He has so much experience doing statewide work. He's represented all of Missouri, not just one district. You know, he served his time in the legislature, went on to be treasurer, dealt with all of the things in that office, and now has served as attorney general. And he's fought the Biden agenda over and over again since President Biden became president and has been vocally pro-Trump and has a great record. So, you know, not to mention, he's just a good guy. He's a fun person to be around. He cares so much about his family, is a fierce advocate for his son and for people who deal with similar conditions. And I just think that we need somebody strong. We need somebody who is a patriot. We need somebody who is even keeled and measured and really, really thinks through what they do. And I think that he's the perfect choice.
So I kind of wonder what Vicki Hartzler's entrance into this race is going to mean for someone like Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
Now, before Hartzler jumped in, really, I think Schmidt was the only person of the three who have officially announced, Eric Greitens, Mark mm-hmm. McCloskey, mm-hmm. Eric Schmidt, who really kind of had any kind of record to stand on when talking about whether or not he sides with the former president.
Right.
But now Vicki Hartzler has that record of how mm-hmm. she voted in Congress mm-hmm. or what, you know, policies of his that she supported while in D.C. What do you think that's going to mean for Schmidt?
It is good having people in the race now who do have records
mm-hmm.
and who do understand public service and, you know, fulfilling a full term instead of quitting halfway through.
Yeah.
if you know what I mean.
I wonder which one did
that. I don't know who I could be talking about. No, but I, you know, I am excited that she has a record. I'm excited that she, you know, the voters can look at her and look at who she is and what she stands for and how she feels on things. And that's really important. But between the two, I mean, like I said, Eric Schmidt has represented the entire state. And he doesn't just feel comfortable in his hometown. Mm-hmm. He feels comfortable with everyone in Missouri, depending on where they live, what they do, from farmers to business people to attorneys, like he is one. You know, I think that he has the most clear-cut vision and is independent to a point that, you know, he has supported President Trump. He has backed all of his proposals here in the state and really worked against President Biden. But also, he knows what Missourians want. and he knows what true conservatism is and isn't afraid to stand up for it and be a person of character. And, you know, I think that says a lot.
You mentioned that Schmidt really represents the entire state, and I thought that was kind of funny because Hartzler's 4th congressional district is so large that sometimes
it feels like it's the whole state. Yeah.
And she was a teacher in Lebanon, Missouri, which is where I grew up. So I think that's like a fun
Lebanon,
connection.
The 5-minute bridge between having to go from here to Springfield, and that one main drag always takes so long. There's like the Sonic on your right, and you know, there's all the stop signs. It takes forever. But no, I love Lebanon. Great place. They have a good fish place there.
I really haven't been since I was a kid, so I don't really remember much. I remember the field across from my house, and I remember when the Walmart turned into a Walmart Supercenter, which really felt like we were a massive metropolis at that point.
Well, didn't she? I think she also taught in Belton.
Yes.
That is the home of my best friend from college, one Miss Michaela McCage, who also teaches in Belton. So fun fact for none of you who know my friend Michaela.
So. Well, see, this is our congressional district is so big. Everyone has some connection
to
Vicki Hartzler at this point.
Massive.
One thing that I have thought was pretty interesting about this Senate race is obviously the seat is opening up because Roy Blunt is leaving the Senate. I've been impressed with the amount of work he's still doing though.
Oh,
you know, he
absolutely.
Could just sit back and say, I'm just going to coast this and ride this out until I'm officially out of DC and out of here. But he's doing a lot still, and still from Missouri. He just partnered with Senator Casey in Pennsylvania on a rural bridge funding project.
Roy Blunt, I cannot say enough good things about. I think he is the best statesman. He's worked so hard for the people of Missouri. And I know it's easy to just see a headline and to assume that somebody is a certain way. But Senator Blunt does more for the people of Missouri and does more for the funding of the things that our state needs than anyone probably ever will realize at home. And he is going to be so missed. He's such a statesman, just a good man, does such a great job representing the state of Missouri. And I'm definitely going to miss him. It's going to take big shoes to fill, which, you know, Eric Schmidt, tall guy, so I'm sure, you know.
I like it. So let's talk about something that happened in the Capitol this week. And I guess you technically weren't back in the state yet, but I know that you probably did follow this. But Governor Parson signed the PDMP bill this week, which is Holly Rader's bill. So tell us a little bit about the effort that went into that.
Yeah, so Senator Holly Rader is such an amazingly wonderful person. Personally, you know, we have personal ties. My husband, Wes, his first job in Jeff City was as her LA.
Aww.
And he ran her first race for state rep because she's a Sykeston person. So, you know, my Sykeston family now. But she's just such a wonderful person. She has spent so much time, so much effort championing PDMP through. And to do it as her, to get it passed her first session as a state senator, it shows so much grit and determination, and I am so grateful for her and for her advocacy for populations who need this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's really, really easy to, Holly is very conservative.
Mm-hmm.
She is a Christian conservative, just like me. We align on so many things. But she wasn't afraid to, you know, advocate for things that maybe the cookie cutter conservative doesn't necessarily see as conservative.
Right.
I 100% believe it's conservative. I think it's going to save lives. I think it's going to help so many people. And Holly has such a wonderful story of getting it through and working on it. And I just can't say enough good things. I'm so grateful Governor Parson chose to sign it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing lives saved because of this.
I moved here after covering national politics at the federal level, and then also in New York.
Yeah.
And people aren't always the kindest in DC or New York. I'm sure that comes as a surprise. So moving here, it was really exciting to me to meet people who are just genuine human beings.
Yeah.
And I think Senator Rader is one of those people just when she asks you how's your day or how are you doing, you know that she actually means it.
Yeah.
And, you know, speaking of genuinely nice people, she teamed up with Representative Travis Smith on the House side, which I thought was a cool move.
Yeah.
He's a freshman, and his very first, you know, session ever, he comes in and helps, you know, shepherd that bill on, mm-hmm. on his side of the mm-hmm. chamber. And I know you've worked with him on some things.
Yeah, I love Travis Smith. So my company, Axiom, we mm-hmm. worked with him on his campaign, but he did not work directly with me. He worked with one of my colleagues. So I didn't know him very well. And I came in, it was one of the first days of session, and sat down with him and just kind of getting to know you and talking about some other issues I was working on. And the contagious joy and happiness, it was amazing. He just one of my favorite people to be around. I remember telling him about one of my issues, and he's like, "This is amazing. This is incredible. Amazing." And I was like, you know, I want to react like that yeah. to the world. I want to be like you, Travis Smith. He is amazing. And also the fact that a freshman state representative took on this issue that has been so highly controversial for mm-hmm. so long, championed it through, stood his ground. I think Travis Smith really proved himself as a leader this session. He's, in my mind, not afraid to take on a hard issue. He's not afraid to vote the way that he believes is best. He doesn't, you know, bow to pressure from outside groups. I'm really, really impressed with him, and I'm proud to say he's an Axiom client and a friend.
Yeah, I think that if you have any issue that you decide you want to convince your colleagues to support, and it's your very first session, mm-hmm. that's got to be intimidating.
Oh,
but especially
so intimidating.
An issue like PDMP that's just so controversial and
yeah.
just hasn't, you know, had the success in the past years that it did this year.
Right.
I feel like I would have been intimidated to go
oh, totally.
Up to my fellow colleagues and been like,
yeah.
"Hi, I'm a freshman. Can you
yeah.
please vote
Can
for this?
Can you vote for this?" I know. It is truly amazing. You know, I'm just so happy for both of them
mm-hmm.
and the friendship that it created for both of them and just the amazing success. I'm so happy about it.
Although you did mention his joy, which is pretty infectious, and I kind of like you met him right at the start of mm-hmm. Senate or start of session, and we do every year a freshman to watch series, which usually includes all of the freshmen.
Yeah.
I think this year there was one or two who we left off of the
I wonder who
freshman to watch list. But I usually, you know, have Cameron or Elise, she was our intern this mm-hmm. session, had one of those two do most of the freshman to watch stories.
Mm-hmm.
But in the spirit of working together,
yeah.
I chose a couple of them just randomly, and Travis Smith was one of them. And so I met him the first or second week of session.
Yeah.
And you're right, he's just a very joyful person. That's a
yes.
great, you know, word for that. But I do think if I was a lawmaker and he came to me and asked me to support something with the amount of enthusiasm he always has, it would be hard to say no to
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
Let's talk a little bit about one of the successes that you had this session that I don't feel like got as much coverage, and we didn't, you know, talk about that much, but
yeah.
it was funding for a drug treatment program, right?
Yeah, so kind of in the same vein as PDMP,
mm-hmm.
I started advocating last session, and then, you know, the world ended
yes.
Temporarily. But it is medication-assisted treatment for incarcerated populations with opioid use disorder,
mm-hmm.
Which, you know, when I first was introduced to the topic, a lot of big words, a lot of medical, pharmaceutical words. You know, my training is in communications and advertising. So it was, I'm not a doctor. I have no medical experience. My best solution for when you feel bad is go drink water and go to sleep. Which, you know, my husband gets tired of, but no. So we started working on this last session. Basically, if you have opioid use disorder,
mm-hmm.
there are now medication assisted treatment, which is a treatment to help people who have these addiction disorders kind of get their life together, to get off the drug, to get treatment, and to be productive members of society, to have fulfilling lives. And in DOC, in Department of Corrections, there was not access in Missouri to medication-assisted treatment as a whole for the incarcerated populations. So I started working on this issue this session. We had Senator Stephen Roberts sponsor
mm-hmm.
the bill. The legislative or the statute component in the Senate, and then both Representative John Patterson and Representative Brenda Shields sponsored the bill in the House. And then Senator Justin Brown, my home senator, big fan, shout out to Justin, he put the funding into the budget for us on the Senate side. So, you know, as every lobbyist can attest to, session is stressful. You never know if you're going to get your stuff done. It looks really bad one day and really good the next. But thanks to Adam Allback at the Department of Corrections. He was a great ally and an asset. Really, really helped us with this, and super grateful for them. The language did pass inside of SB 53, so looking forward to that getting signed. And we were able to include the funding in the budget. So it is a pilot program as of mm-hmm. right now, but I'm really, really excited for it to take place and to start, and for us to see the lasting effects and mm-hmm. how much better these people's lives will be, and how much better their addiction will be, or they'll be relieved of it because of medication-assisted treatment. In Rhode Island, they implemented this program, and addiction-related deaths from formerly incarcerated people were down 60%.
That's a huge difference.
It's huge.
I think that's an amazing, just an amazing thing that you did this year, that you mentioned the PDMP with Senator Rader, but I mean, I think that there's no question that this is something that will actually change lives and change lives for the better. And I love to see issues like that be successful.
It's really easy to get jaded and cynical in our world. You know, everybody, we all joke about it, but it really is. And it feels good to be able to work on things that you know actually really affect people's lives. And I get the privilege to do quite a few of those things. So
you do a great job too. You're usually pretty victorious. Thank you.
It was a good session. It was a good session.
You mentioned Representative Patterson, and he's someone else who I really enjoy seeing around the Capitol. When the pandemic first hit here and we were spending a lot more time at home, I started doing something that I did a lot in New York and D.C., which it was a little easier to do in New York and D.C., but it was around the world cooking. So I'd pick a country, and for that week, try to cook authentic meals from that country or that region. And in New York and in D.C. as well, maybe try to go to a restaurant for one of those places. So we did a little bit of that for a couple weeks. And then I actually was busier than ever during the start of COVID. Yeah. So, you know, we really tried to keep track of not just what was going on in the Capitol, but also what was going on with COVID and where are there active cases and where
And the daily 3 p.m. press conference, you know.
So that Around the World Cooking did not last very long. Yeah. I did not have the time for that. But he would always ask me, what are you cooking this week? And I just thought that was kind of...
That's so thoughtful.
Yeah, it was nice.
My John Patterson story is... so obviously we got married during COVID.
Yeah.
And 4 days before our little mini wedding, just with our family, immediate family and grandparents, I was going to get my nails done. A lot of people know this story. It's quite embarrassing. I was going to get my nails done. I opened the door, but I had something like to the left of my door that I was trying not to hit. So I go to get in the car and I like slam my eye on my car door frame.
Oh,
I know it doesn't sound likely, but it did happen. And so I get in and I'm like, oh my gosh. And I feel something like wet from my hand, and I had split my eye open. I've never had to have stitches in my life, but I saw that and I was like, oh my God, I have to have stitches.
Right before your wedding.
4 days. 4 days before, 5 days. It was a Monday and the wedding was on Saturday. 5 days before the wedding. So I back out and I start like hyperventilating. I'm like, what am I gonna do? My wedding is in 5 days. I've had to cancel the whole thing. COVID has ruined my entire life. And now I'm gonna have ugly stitches in my eye. So I call Wes. And I called my mom, cried on both calls. I'm like, what am I going to do? And so Wes called John and said, I'm really sorry to bother you, but we're getting married in 5 days. What should Hannah do? And John was really calm and gave us all these suggestions and was like, you need these kind of stitches. And he was so helpful. And then the next time I saw him, he's like, let me see it. Let me see the scar. So it all turned out fine. You can't even see it in the pictures. And the stitches came out.
Actually didn't know this.
Yeah, quite embarrassing. So I also think that the emergency room doctor did not believe me that I hit my head on the door. He seemed very concerned about my mental state. But shout out to you, emergency room doctor, for stitching up my eye. And I promise I did hit my head on the car door.
As a very clumsy person, I have gotten stitches many times. Mm-hmm. So if you ever need extra advice,
thank you.
I've got you covered.
I hope that doesn't happen again. And also, if it happened any other time, I wouldn't care that much.
Yeah.
But it was just, you know, the gravity of the gravity of the time.
Well, I like that we all have John Patterson stories.
Yes.
Makes my day. Let's kind of wrap this up, I think, by just recapping session. For you, what was the high point of session?
I would have to say that the high point of session was seeing ESAs get done. you know, I got the privilege of working with Kate Casas on that. Mm-hmm. And Kate is, she's incredible. Mm-hmm. She's one of the hardest workers I've ever met. Absolutely so diligent with Whipless, just never gives up on an issue. I mean, she's arguably, to me, the best lobbyist in the Capitol, or one of the best. And I was so honored to get to work with her and to see her face and to witness her reaction on something she's been working on for so long. When it both passed the House and the Senate was incredible to me. And, you know, Representative Chris Stefanelli, who championed that issue, Speaker of the House, Rob Vescovo, who worked so hard to get that across the finish line, and Senator Koenig, and then also Senator O'Loughlin, you know, for being great advocates. So it was awesome. It was a real, it was like, I love winning. It was just the best win.
But you will also be, you're basically an honorary member of the Missouri Times team this week, because you're also joining us on some days.
Yeah.
You're also joining us on the TV show this week.
I am. I'm looking forward to it. I think I'm right after Congresswoman Hartzler. So,
yeah.
So
this week in Missouri politics, Sunday mornings.
Great. I think it's an outside appearance today. So
it should be.
That is exciting.
I have some Ray-Bans in my bag if you need them.
Good, good. I'll have my sunglasses on quite
the whole time. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week.
Thank you,
I really
for
appreciate
having
it. And I do not know when we'll do another podcast, because it is the interim, so it depends on when there's news, guys.
Nothing is real. Time does not exist. But no, thank you so much for having me on, and thank you guys for being such wonderful people, reporting the news of Missouri, and just being a good friend.
Yeah, you're my favorite person here. I'm glad that we've become such close friends. That's all for this week. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, and follow me on Twitter at @K_Schallhorn. That's SCHALLHORN. Cheers.